Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast.
For the 2025 season, we have seven amazing productions taking place in our Springer and Fire Hall theaters.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front row seat.
See you at the theater.
Welcome back to the 2025 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples, and we are recording on site here at our production facility. My name is Allison Hess, and I'm the Education and Engagement Manager.
And I am Stephanie Graham, and I am the Artistic Associate here at the Playhouse. Welcome to the fourth episode of the 2025 season of the Playhouse Podcast. Today we are talking about the distinctly rural and very Canadian comedy, Stag and Doe. Bonnie and Brad are throwing the obligatory stag and doe to pay for their upcoming wedding. Their maid of honor, Dee, is still getting over being left at the altar 7 years ago. Mandy and Rob are getting married today, even if their big white tent just blew away in a storm. And Chef Jay's entire catering staff have been arrested. It's all happening at the same time in the same community hall kitchen. Stag and Doe offers an affectionate and hilarious look at this distinctly Canadian prenuptial tradition and the joys of small-town life.
Stag and Doe, written by Mike Crawford, premiered in 2014 at the Blythe Festival. We are lucky today to have two of the hilarious performers in studio with us, Kyle Brown and Romy Schrader. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Thanks for taking some time out of rehearsal to come and talk with us.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Yeah. So we always like to start with a little bit of a mini bio so that our audience can get to know you a little better. So Kyle, Stag and Doe is your debut at the Thousand Islands Playhouse. So welcome.
Thank you.
But audiences might have seen you in this little show called Come From Away. You performed in the Mirvish, the NAC, the Gander, and Australian touring productions.
That's correct, yes.
So you must know that show like the back of your hand.
Oh,
now.
Hundreds of times, hundreds and hundreds of times I've done it. It is just second nature at this point.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. You were also nominated for Adora for your work as Tyson in the world premiere of the play Tyson's Song last year in Toronto. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor to do that show. An amazing new play written by Peter Bailey, and it's just an incredible piece. I'm so lucky I got to be a part of it and grateful to have been nominated for a Dora Award.
Yeah.
Just not something I was expecting, but gladly received. So
amazing.
Thank you.
And for those who don't know what Adora is the Toronto version of a Tony.
So yes, very much.
The Toronto Tonys.
And Romy, listeners might have seen you in TIP's production of Sexual Misconduct of the Middle Classes in 2023, or potentially on screen in the Netflix production Ginny and Georgia.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be back here. I had so much fun in 2023.
We're happy to have you here too, and you're on a different stage. You were in the Fire Hall last time, and now you get to grace the Springer.
Moving on up.
And also
down the hill.
Moving on down the hill. Now, I think our very first question is a very important question. Have either of you ever been to a Stag and Doe?
I actually have.
What?
It was very serendipitous. I received the audition for this play and I was like, what is a Stag and Doe? That sounds crazy. And that day my partner called me and he was like, hey, my brother's getting married. He's having a Stag and Doe. Do you want to come? And obviously I did want to go and explained the whole thing to me. It sounded like so much fun.
Right, because your partner's up in the Ottawa Valley, right?
In the Ottawa Valley.
Classic Stag and Doe region.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I've never been to one, but
Such a great idea.
Yeah.
Kyle, have you?
I've been to a Jack and Jill, which is the same thing, you know, potato, potato, basically.
I've only ever been to one, and it was a friend of mine who's from Saskatchewan, and they did it in downtown Toronto, so it was very strange because
it
was sort of like this small town event happening downtown. It was wild, but we had so much fun.
That's
did they
amazing.
Call it a Stag and Doe?
Yep.
Oh.
Full Stag and Doe.
Okay.
Full Stag and Doe.
Yeah, Stag and Doe, Jack and Jill, wedding party, I think they call them in like Manitoba.
Social. Wedding social.
Wedding social.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool and unique tradition. That even a lot of people, even though it's Canadian, a lot of people in Canada have never heard of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's very true.
Which is so interesting. It's so niche in especially Ontario and Manitoba, maybe a little bit of Saskatchewan too, which is cool. What was your favorite game that you played while you guys were there? Like what game did you like, Kyle?
We played this game. You had to sort of like guess what was inside of these balloons, but it was a lot of fun.
Did you win?
No, I don't win anything. I never win things.
What about you, Romy?
Well, there were long lineups for all of the games, so I think the only one that I actually got to participate in, and I was so embarrassingly terrible at it, was, it's called a toonie toss.
Oh.
So they put a big old jug of booze in the middle of the room, and everyone takes a turn, throw in a toonie at it, and whoever lands the closest wins the prize.
Toonie toss.
The toonie toss. It's so Canadian.
So Canadian. I love that.
I love a toonie.
What about you, Steph? What kind of games did they play at your downtown Stag and Doe?
I don't know if I really remember. It was a while ago, but I know there's definitely a lot of alcohol consumed.
Yeah. I mean, I think this play opens with two people making Jello shots.
Fundraising. Absolutely. Yes, exactly.
Fun. What's a fundraiser without Jello shots?
Exactly. They put the fun in fundraiser. Did you know what a Stag and Doe was before doing this play? And Romy, you were saying you didn't really, and then you...
I learned, like, at the perfect moment.
Yeah, it's almost like you were doing research.
Exactly. That's what I kept saying.
That's awesome. Yes.
I love that.
What about you?
Yeah, I knew what it was, you know. I had only ever been to that one Jack and Jill, but I was aware of the general concept.
And for someone who doesn't know what a Stag and Doe, how would you two describe it?
I would describe it like it serves the same function sort of as like a bridal shower, like a wedding shower, not the bachelorette or the bachelor party, but like to kind of help the couple start their new life. There's a lot of games, a lot of drinking, as we said. Everything usually costs a little bit of money. And the whole point is to help this couple on their start.
Yeah. And I think also it's like a very nice community event where your whole community comes together to set you on your path, as Kyle was saying.
I think it's nice too that without the pressure of the actual wedding day itself, it's sort of like a nice almost engagement party that may be separate from an engagement party. But it's, again, like you said, Romy, bringing the community together.
Just another reason to celebrate.
Exactly. And I think that it's not just people who are in the wedding or invited to the wedding. So it is like a real community event, right?
Yeah, it's open to the community. You buy a ticket to come in. That's part of the fundraising of it all.
They look like a good time.
Well, Gananoque, many of our cast members have never been to a Stag and Doe. So if you are having a Stag and Doe sometime soon, please let us know. We'd love to come. We'd love to support you.
Oh my gosh,
yes. That'd be great.
Some of us are really good at games.
Some of us. No one in this room.
But other people are. Amazing. So, you know, we've introduced you. We know what a Stag and Doe is now, which is great. Could you introduce your character and how would you describe them?
I am playing Mandy. It is my wedding day and everything is going horribly wrong. And though I think that Mandy would love to say that she is handling all of this with grace, that could not be further from the truth. And she's just a little bridezilla.
It's her day.
It is her day. And it is really not her day.
And Kyle?
And Rob is Mandy's groom.
Oh.
Yes. And Rob is also going along on this journey of a day that is supposed to be their wedding day where everything is kind of going wrong. And how would I describe Rob? Rob is, he really loves Mandy. He's a little confused sometimes.
Oh no.
We're that couple that everyone's had in their life at some point where you look at them and you go, how are these people still together? And how did they make it this far?
Yes. Very that.
Oh my gosh, yes. I think we can all picture that couple right now. And that's a great way to put it. And like, speaking of that, Stag and Doe is a really cool play in a lot of ways. It plays with a lot of those familiar romantic comedy character archetypes. Mm-hmm. How do you as actors play within those archetypes while adding your own personality and experience to the character?
I think trying to find the humanity in every role that you play is key. This person is not just an archetype. They have thoughts, opinions, a past, a whole history. And if you start to uncover that, that will start to play into how you're playing this role, as well as the stuff that you bring from your own life experience. I just am who I am, and there are certain things that I'm going to bring that it's going to be different. So that's kind of like where I start in terms of that. It's just like really trying to understand the character beyond what's written on the page.
It's also very helpful because Mark Crawford is a really clever writer. And so while he does employ a lot of tropes and archetypes in this play, he does give us a lot to work with. So it's easy to add depth and add layers, as you were saying. Also, that's been a big part of our rehearsal process this week, is finding all of those extra fun elements that make all the characters human. Where do we see the heart? And then how do we add comedy on top of that?
I mean, they're real people in an extraordinary situation. Wedding days are high pressure situations, and you throw these people who have regular stresses into those moments, and comedies start in chaos and hopefully end in peace. And, you know, that's part of the fun, why we enjoy them, is watching people survive chaos.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The whole story of Stag and Doe happens between probably noon and 9 p.m. of one day. So it's really, how does someone behave on their wedding day when this day that they've planned so meticulously has fallen apart so drastically right before their eyes? Probably not great.
Many of the characters in Stag and Doe, including the characters you two play, have a shared history that extends far before the play starts. How do you, as actors, build that camaraderie and closeness over such a short rehearsal period?
I think every time you start a project, especially one that takes you away from home and puts you in a beautiful new place, it kind of feels like summer camp. And so we've all become pretty fast friends. We like to have fun, and, you know, that just infuses itself into the production.
Yeah, it helps. I mean, at the start of our rehearsal, we all sat around and we spoke a little bit about what we wanted out of this rehearsal process and things like that. So you get to be a little vulnerable and we share those kinds of things. Not to mention the fact that we start off with 6 days a week, 8 hours a day rehearsal. So we're together a lot and it's a small cast. So it's going to happen. We're going to form bonds and get to know each other. And then other things like, you know, we went out to eat to commemorate our first week of rehearsals and things like that. So we'll build that relationship with each other.
I went to theater school with Henry, who plays Brad in our show.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that was really fun. I haven't seen him since I graduated.
This is day eight, right? Day eight of rehearsal. And you did your first full stumble through yesterday, right?
We did.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think Charissa, who's our director, is really, really good at holding space where everyone feels safe to make really larger than life choices and look silly and stupid. And that just fosters such a positive work environment.
Yeah, she really creates a really comfortable working space where everyone feels heard, everyone feels comfortable. The egos are kind of left aside and best idea wins.
Yeah, it feels like a uniquely collaborative process in a really beautiful way.
So Stag and Doe is, again, as we said, based on, you know, your wedding day, the day of a Stag and Doe for Brad and Bonnie. In terms of, like, how much, you know, intimacy is there in this play, and how do you work with that in the room? You know, even in terms of, like, emotional intimacy, but also that physical intimacy.
Yeah, so there are a few moments of, like, physical intimacy that are very mild. A couple kisses, you'll see. And even with emotional intimacy, there's a very big thing that we do is to always check in with each other. Every single time, every single day, every rehearsal, especially if we know a scene that requires that kind of intimacy is coming up, the people involved check in. It doesn't have to be a deep thing. It can just be like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Are you comfortable with this today? Is there something off? And then afterwards, you check in. How was that? How did you feel? And we're always just making sure that everybody involved is feeling very comfortable. And if you're not, then we do something else for that day, you know, or we take a different approach. Because people have things that are happening in their lives, things that, you know, trigger them, whatever it is. So they may not always be ready to go in those types of environments. Right. And that's okay.
And I think for our listeners, knowing that the art of being an actor is such a vulnerable place to exist. And I am so thrilled that we have moved rehearsal halls in this direction. And even something that is more chaste, it's still equal importance that this is a safe space, because it's a comedy and you need to be able to be vulnerable and make those choices. It's really great to hear. Both of you have experience in working with more serious texts. Do you have a preference?
This is actually my first proper comedy. I've never been a part of a process that's quite like this. And I was a little scared, but Charissa really emboldened me to just go for it. And I'm having the time of my life. I'm having so much fun making a fool of myself every day. But it is all very, very new for me. So I feel like I'm learning a lot throughout this process.
Yeah, I have done both. Do I have a preference? I don't know that I have a preference, but there are pros to each side. And sometimes it just depends on where I'm at in my life. With a more intense and serious drama, there's a lot more like nuance and interesting things that you can kind of share sometimes with an audience. Usually you get to explore like different facets of human emotion more, I think, a little bit. It can also be very weighty. Like I did Tyson's Song, which was pretty heavy. And it was a 1-hour show. It was a very short show. But I was very exhausted. Like it was a 4-week run, and I thought about if I had to do that for an extended
year.
Yeah. It was so tiring and emotionally draining, and I found it was very challenging for me, but also extremely rewarding. With a comedy, on the other hand, comedy is really challenging in like trying to figure out the tone, but also like brings humanity to it still, because I believe that comedy works best when it's grounded in truth and realness. So trying to find that balance has been my challenge this time, because it's like, I want to play them straight, but I also want the humor to land. I mean, luckily in most cases, I find that trusting the writer and the words on the page usually does most of the work.
Follow-up question, do you approach those differently in your preparation, either of you?
Yeah, I think with the theater that I've been a part of, a lot of it has been based in real people's experience. For example, I was in a play called The Covenant about the Holocaust, and there were some characters inspired by historical figures. So I think the research that has to go into preparing for a project like that, or for a project like sexual misconduct, you have to sort of reflect on your own lived experience. That preparation, I think, is very, very different. Whereas for this show, I've been more focused on coming up with offers and imagining more than reflecting before coming into the space, if that makes sense. Yeah, it's just larger than life. Yeah. And also, this is a farce. Which means all of that, you take it another step further.
Yeah, I read, I'm paraphrasing, but there was like a famous British farce writer, and he was saying that like characters in a farce don't know they're in a farce, and it's deadly serious to them. And that's what makes the comedy.
Yes.
So it's almost like a circle. It's like the drama, serious roles and the comedic are almost kind of close together the further you get, right? The more extreme the comedy, the farce, the more serious almost the character has to take it.
It is interesting. Yeah, it's very serious. You know what I mean? Like this
the
is
stakes
so,
are high.
The stakes are really high. It is very serious. And my reaction is going to be very serious as well, you know? But it's so hilarious because you're like, this is insane, you know?
Yeah, if Mandy didn't think that this was like life or death, the comedy wouldn't be there, right?
Absolutely not. She's a very serious lady.
Are there any special wedding traditions in your friend or family group? If you're growing up, or if your friend group are at that stage in life? Short answer,
No.
Short answer, no.
Like, traditions exist, but these days, like, the tradition now is to do something unconventional and different than everybody else,
so
right?
The tradition is to be different than...
Yeah, yeah, that's basically what it is. There's nothing, no crazy traditions that I can think of offhand.
No, me neither. Yeah. I haven't been to very many weddings.
My grandma was very upset that I didn't want a bridal shower, so I had a wine shower. She was mortified.
That's an incredible idea.
And the idea was also the people brought recipes that went with that wine so that you would make that recipe and then open that bottle of wine. I loved that. And I still have a lot of those recipes and the wine's gone. But it seemed like a really fun thing to do. And we had a great time.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful idea. And I feel like Kyle was saying, we're moving into a time where traditions around marriage are shifting. And that, for example, sounds like something that is lovely and supportive for both you and your partner.
I am glad to see that changing in our time, where couples are doing things that satisfy them as a couple.
A stag and doe is for the couple.
Oh, it is for the couple. Absolutely. That is true. That is for the couple. Come on. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I was just thinking about that when you said that, Kyle, because like you could see the stag and doe as this way to bring in the greater community while still being able to like do your own thing and what makes you happy. So I think what you're saying is that everyone should do stag and does.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. That is what I'm saying. Word for word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have one coming up, please let us know.
Invite us.
Yes.
We want to come.
Oh my gosh.
No, they're fun.
Yeah. Bring the community in and then you can do whatever you want on your own wedding day.
I love this.
That's a great idea.
So how has your time been in Gan? You've been here about 8 to 10 days. Have you been to any spots or seen any spots that you look forward to checking out more when you have the show running and have a bit more time?
Well, I'm kind of cheating because I have been here before, but sure. I love Gananoque. And one of my very first thoughts was, oh my gosh, I get to go back to Laverne's.
Yeah.
And I haven't had time to go yet, but on Monday, that is where I'll be.
They have great breakfast.
They have great breakfast.
Yes.
I passed it the other day and it caught my eye.
You gotta go.
I gotta go.
You gotta check it out.
And Monday's a good day to go because sometimes on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Oh yeah, it's busy on weekends.
Busy.
I've seen a lot of like ice cream shops. You guys like ice cream here.
Absolutely.
You guys really like ice cream, and I'm excited to check it out, even though I'm lactose intolerant. Pistachio had some great gelato. The pistachio gelato was
incredible. Out of this world. It's so highly good. Recommend.
Yes.
The pistachio amazing. Pistachio gelato?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
So good.
Well, thank you both for coming onto the show, for taking the time to chat with us. I know you have to go back to rehearsal and jump back in to this world. So thank you, too, for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a blast.
Yeah, thank you. We're so happy to be here and soon to share this show with all of you.
Come see it. I'm so excited. It's going to be so much fun.
Bring your husband. Bring your wife. Steg and Doe.
Thank you, as always, to Mark Hunt for composing the music for the Playhouse podcast. For more ticket information, please visit us at ThousandIslandsPlayhouse.com.
See you at the theater.